different. We have to live different. And as we look at Galatians 5, 22 and 23, we find that gentleness is one of the qualities that God wants to cultivate in your life and mine. It is a fruit of the Spirit. In fact, the Bible says that if you really want to make a difference, the greatest power on earth is exerted through gentleness. Jesus preached, "Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth." Wow. The world teaches that power is achieved through bullying, through assertiveness, through pushing yourself around. Yet Jesus says that ultimate power is found as we submit ourselves to the Lord, and He lives out His gentleness and meekness through us. What is gentleness? Put simply, gentleness is power under control. It is submitted strength and our will to God's control and purpose. Read that again slowly. It is power or strength under control. When I think of that, I have several pictures that come through my mind. One picture is that of a horse, and many of you here this morning are horse lovers and involved in horse racing and horse training and all that. Take a wild horse, a stallion, who is running free, and he is taken, and he is tamed in his spirit, and that wild nature, that animal that exerts thousands of pounds of power, is brought under control. Gentleness is power under control. The summer and fall of 2017 saw an unusual string of record-breaking hurricanes pummel the U.S. Gulf Coast, Eastern Seaboard, Puerto Rico, and the Caribbean. Hurricane Harvey brought unbelievable floods to Houston. Irma, one of the two strongest hurricanes ever recorded in the northern Atlantic, wreaked havoc in Florida and many of the Caribbean islands. Maria devastated Puerto Rico and the Virgin Islands. We saw water and wind totally out of control, wreaking devastation and destruction wherever it went. It was raw, uncontrolled power. Now think about this. 2,271,247 liters of water flows over Niagara Falls every single second. In the time that it took me to say that, over 10 million liters of water was flowing over the Niagara Gorge. And if you've ever had opportunity to be there, you will understand what I mean about the thunderous power that that water exerts. Yet that same awesome power from that flowing water, when brought under control, is the power that generates electricity to over 3.8 million homes in southern Ontario and northern New York State. It is power under control. Gentleness is power or strength under control. But understand something, folk. For the believer, it's more than that. For the believer, it's the submission of our strength and will to God's control and purpose. I cannot be gentle in and of myself without God helping me. And as a believer in Jesus Christ, living according to the will of the Spirit, it is His Spirit that living in me that gives me the power and strength and ability to exert gentleness. Power under control. And if I'm going to think of gentleness, I think of Jesus. The best scriptural illustration we have is the gentleness of Jesus. And in Matthew chapter 12, we have an interesting story that talks about or illustrates the kind of power that He wants to exhibit in each and every one of our lives here this morning. In Matthew chapter 12, here Jesus is teaching, and He comes to church on the Sabbath. He's coming to the synagogue as what His habit was. And as he's in the synagogue, he meets a man with a shriveled hand. Looking for a reason to bring charges against Jesus, the religious leaders asked him, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" He said to them, "If any of you has a sheep and it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will you not take hold of it and lift it out? How much more valuable is a person than a sheep? Therefore, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath." Then he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." And so he stretched it out, and it was completely restored, just as sound as the other. But the Pharisees went out and plotted how they might kill Jesus. Aware of this, Jesus withdrew from that place, and a large crowd followed him, and he healed all who were ill. He warned them not to tell others about him, and this was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. "Here is my servant whom I have chosen, the one I love, in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will proclaim justice to the nations. He will not quarrel or cry out. No one will hear his voice in the streets." And now look at this verse. "A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out, till he has brought justice through to victory. In his name the nations will put their hope." Jesus is the embodiment of gentleness. He is the all-powerful, but through his sacrificing love, he chose to treat people with meekness and humility. Philippians chapter 2 describes the gentling of Jesus, who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be violently grasped. That is the literal translation, to be grasped violently, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made found in human likeness. When we look for a king to be born to royalty, we look to a palace. But he was born as a babe to a peasant girl wrapped in swaddling clothes. He speaks to the weak and to the outcast. He heals the sick. It is power under control. When we look to him to make his move of entering into Jerusalem on a big white horse, ready for battle, we find him entering on a gentle donkey. When we gather with him in the upper room, we expect to hear plans of how the kingdom will be set up, but instead he drops to his knees, calls his friends together, and gently washes their feet. When he is arrested and taken before the authorities, we look for him to set them straight by declaring that he is God's anointed one, to call down the legions of angels to rescue him. Instead, we find him strangely silent. In chapter 27 of Matthew's gospel, we read Jesus made no reply, not even a single charge, to the great amazement of the governor. And when the apostle John in Revelation chapter 5 looked for the conquering lion to open the scroll and its seven seals, he sees instead a gentle lamb as if it had been slain. And though Jesus gave himself a number of figurative titles such as the Good Shepherd, the Bread of Life, the Light of the World, and the Vine, probably the most significant description he gives of himself is found in chapter 11, verse 28, where Jesus invites all those who are listening, all those who are in need, all those who are hungering and thirsting, all those who need to know that God loves them. He invites them, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest to your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." In the very next chapter that we just read, the Pharisees are angry with Jesus. They plan to kill him, to arrest him, to silence him for good. Here they find Jesus above all things in the synagogue on the Sabbath, healing someone in need. Can you imagine? The best place anybody could ever find themselves who has a need is in God's house. Would you say amen to that? I think that's pretty cool. This man comes. I don't know what he was expecting. I don't know what he was looking for, but he was there. He had a need. For the most part, even the religious leaders ignored him. But Jesus points him out, calls him forward, and heals him in God's house. Following that, knowing that the Pharisees were angry with him and the people were seeking him out, he withdraws himself to a quiet place. And Matthew quotes from the prophet Isaiah, who hundreds of years before the time of Jesus, to show that Jesus fulfilled at least yet one more prophetic prediction, he turns to Isaiah's prophecy, where he reads, "A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out." There are two things that we can know about a reed. It's weak and it's worthless. Many times people are like bruised reeds. Maybe you feel like a bruised reed this morning. Maybe you feel weak and worthless. Have you been battered and thrown about by the storms of life? Has sin scarred you? If so, listen to these gentle words. Let the Holy Spirit speak them to your heart today. A bruised reed he will not break. That word break means to rend in pieces or to crack apart. My friend, today, Jesus is not here to break you into little pieces. He longs to take your bruised heart and to heal it. He longs to take your hurt life and to restore it. Psalm 147:3 says, "He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds." I love that word, healed. It's a similar word that is used in the Gospels. It's a word that is used by fishermen when they're going about bringing in their nets and they may be torn or tied up in knots. And the word that is used is that they are mending their nets. It is a word used by doctors who, when a person comes and their bones are broken, he sets the bones in place so that the bones can knit together. It's the same word that the psalmist uses here, that God wants to heal your broken heart. He wants to mend you this morning. He wants to bring the broken pieces together. Listen to me this morning. Jesus is gentle and will not break a bruised reed. And a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. I did some reading this week and I came to a little discovery of what the lamps were like in Jesus' day. Wicks were made out of linen. And when the oil ran out, the flame would flicker and emit a cloud of smelly smoke. All the dirt and filth that was around the flame would start smoking as well. The smoke would become an irritant, so people would just reach out and snuff it out. Jesus refuses to snuff out the weak, the smoldering, the irritating. Instead, he leans over, carefully adds oil to the bowl, being cautious not to drown out the wick, then gently blows to get the fire going again. My friend, this morning, what a wonderful picture of what Jesus wants to do in your life and mine this morning. You may be here today and you think that you've come to the end of yourself, that you've got nothing else to offer. You are burned out and all that is left is a lot of meaningless fading smoke. But I have news for you today. I have good news that Jesus, the gentle shepherd, your Lord, your King, the defeater of death, hell, and the grave is here today by the Holy Spirit and wants to bring renewal to your life. He wants to bring healing to your life. He wants to restore your life. He wants to fill your life afresh with purpose and meaning and joy and flavor. Friends, he will fan your life into flame so you can burn bright again. And he says to you this morning, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest to your souls." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus handles bruised reeds with care and precision that no doctor can even match. In any other person's hands, the reeds would snap in an instant. All life, all hope, all power gone, but in Jesus' hands, those hands that have been bruised for us, that stock is made to grow again, and the smoldering wick will be brought back to life. Do you need Jesus to bring healing to you today? Do you need the fire to come back into your life? I'm going to invite us to stand. Rick and the team are going to lead us into some more songs of worship as we close this morning. And we will have an offering. Don't worry, we will take up an offering. But if you are here this morning and you need healing in your heart and life, as the team plays, I invite you to come forward this morning. I'd like to ask my elders that are here and the prayer team that are here to come right now and join me at the front and be ready to pray for people who are going to come here this morning. God is here by His Spirit, and He wants to touch your heart gently by His Spirit today. Let's stand together. If you have a need, we welcome you to come this morning.